Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, if you did not pick up or have someone hand to you a sermon guide that looks just like this one when you came in this morning, if you will just slip up your hand, third grade and older, we have one for you. And you don't need to share, and you don't need to look on with someone. We have one for you. So if you're not, Brother Dempsey, right here in the front, if you are not raising your hand, and then a few here on the side, then we are concluding that you have one. And that's good, because you need one. Again, just be patient with us for a moment. Keep your hand raised until we get one to you. Today is a very unique Sunday. Brother Dempsey behind you also. It is a unique Sunday in that normally we are looking at God's Word book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. On Sunday mornings, we just recently completed a study of 2 Peter. Before that, we concluded a study of Revelation. And after this sermon series, which begins today and will go through the month of October, we will start in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. But today, and for the next 7 Sundays, we are going to be turning our attention to every believer a witness. Every believer a witness. And so, when we're thinking about that, every believer a witness, I'm not sure what exactly comes to your mind, but we are talking about soul winning. We're going to be talking about sharing Jesus. We're going to be talking about evangelism. And so if that is what you think of when you hear every believer a witness, wonderful. I trust that you will be back for the coming Sundays. What we're not going to be talking about is inviting people to church, although that is important. And we're not going to be talking about funding missionaries so that they can share the gospel, although that too is important. We're going to be talking about sharing the gospel. And you're going to hear me say it like this multiple times over the next several Sundays. People who know Jesus, sharing with people who don't know Jesus, how to know Jesus. Amen? People who know Jesus, sharing with people who don't know Jesus, how to know Jesus. There are churches all over the world this morning that are full of brothers and sisters of Christ who love to sing together and who love to pray together and to fellowship together and to study God's Word together, but yet don't share the gospel. Why is that? Why is it that brothers and sisters in Christ who are forgiven of their sins, who are children of God, who have a home in heaven that awaits them, why is it that we aren't, and notice I said we aren't more faithful in sharing the gospel? We'll turn in your guide this morning to page 2. And for the next several Sundays, as we consider this together, each Sunday morning you're going to have a sermon guide similar to what you have received today. And you're going to have the opportunity to fill in the blanks as we study together. And as we think about this morning, why don't more Christians share the gospel? There on page 2, notice number 1. Some Christians ignore or misunderstand Jesus' commands. Some Christians ignore or misunderstand Jesus' commands. Now, you have this verse in your sermon guide. I want you to read it with me aloud. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Read it with me from your guide. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But he just didn't say it in Matthew's gospel. He just didn't say it in Mark's gospel or Luke's gospel. He said it in all 4 gospels. Read with me John chapter 20 and verse 21. Jesus said to them again, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now, absolutely, positively, some believers are evangelists. Some believers are evangelists. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And while even some believers are evangelists, listen to this, all believers are witnesses. All believers are witnesses. Read with me Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. But even though some are evangelists and all are witnesses, but turn the page to page 3. It's important for us to understand the why of witnessing. Paul tells us in Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, made known to all nations according to the command. That's the why of witnessing. According to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. The reality is that God desires all people to worship Him. Did you know that? God desires all people to worship Him through Jesus Christ. We're currently studying in our Sunday school small groups the book of Philippians. And we will eventually come to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, where Paul says, sooner or later, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in 2 Corinthians 4:15, for it is all for your sake so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. You see, brothers and sisters, worship should lead to witnessing, which will lead to more worship. Worship will lead to witnessing, which will lead to more worship. Again, it's people who know Jesus sharing with those who don't know Jesus how to know Jesus. Some Christians ignore or misunderstand Jesus' commands. The top of page 4, many Christians have misplaced priorities. Many Christians have misplaced priorities. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. Let's talk about those for just a moment. The cares of the world. How might the cares of the world keep you and me from sharing the gospel? Well, I don't know about you, but I can speak for me this morning. There have been many times when the Holy Spirit has said, share the gospel with this person. And then I have responded back, they don't have time. Or if the person is working, share the gospel with that person. He or she's working. They don't have time. You don't want to get them fired. Or in today's climate, in today's culture, share the gospel with them. Oh, I can't get too close. COVID. Do the cares of the world ever keep you from sharing the gospel? Jesus not only spoke about the cares of the world, but he also spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. The devil is the deceiver, and he is constantly trying to deceive us. And one of his lies that he has told us, told me, told you, and forgive us for believing it, he has said that rich people don't need the gospel. I mean, look at their house. Look at their cars. Look at their family. They don't need the gospel. Oh, brothers and sisters, everyone needs the gospel. And while the Lord may bless individuals with financial prosperity, it will not get anyone into the kingdom of heaven. Don't fall to the deceitfulness of riches. And then the desire for other things. We spoke just a moment ago about Haiti. We spoke just a moment ago about Afghanistan. We spoke just a moment ago about Louisiana and other states that are in need of assistance. And undoubtedly they are. But brothers and sisters, more than anything else, those people in those places need Jesus. It is good to minister in the name of Jesus to meet those needs, to help as much as we can. And yet if we meet those physical needs without trying to address those spiritual needs, the need for Christ, then we have failed them. Ministry is good. The gospel is best. The desires for other things. But this morning at the top of page 6, there is a third reason. There is a third reason why we oftentimes are guilty of not sharing the gospel. Most Christians forget about the fate of lost people. Most Christians forget about the fate of lost people. Now listen to me this morning. Let's get very personal. I'm not talking about lost people in Russia. I'm not talking about lost people in Rhode Island. I'm talking about lost people in Raines County. I'm talking about those individuals that you hunt with and that you fish with and that you go to the ball game with and that you work out with and that you see at the restaurant and then you see at the grocery store and that live next door to you. Those are the lost people that we need to talk about this morning. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Brothers and sisters, everyone is going to die. Apart from Jesus coming, everyone is going to die. And I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but we need to be real this morning. Your spouse is going to die apart from Jesus coming again. Your neighbor, your coworker is going to die apart from Jesus coming again. Your adult children are going to die apart from Jesus coming again. Everyone, your best friend, everyone is going to die. Jesus continued in verse 23. And in Hades, this is the rich man. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and torment. Everyone is going to die. And hell is real. Hell is real. Now listen to me this morning. Let me see your eyes. This is not a Baptist preacher trying to scare anyone into an emotional decision this morning. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, and if you're looking in your copy of God's Word, and it's a red letter Bible, these are the words of Jesus. Circle, if you will, there in verse 23, the word torment. circle, if you will, there in verse 24, the word anguish and the word flame. Again, not my words, but the words of the Lord Jesus. Hell is real. And unfortunately, there is no second chance. It's top of page 7. But Abraham said, "Child," talking to the rich man, "remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you," watch this, "may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." Everyone is going to die. Hell is real, and there is no second chance. This works out really well for our auditorium. But look at this divide right here in the middle of the auditorium. And imagine, if you will, on one side is Abraham's bosom and the other side is Hades, or vice versa. You who want on this side to go over there, you will not be able to. There's no second chance. And you on this side, like the rich man, who want to go over there, there is this chasm, and you won't be able to. There is no second chance. Everybody's going to die. Hell is real. There is no second chance. But God uses the gospel, not miracles, to save people. God uses the gospel, not miracles, to save people. Verse 27, and he said, "Then I beg you, Father," the rich man, "I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Brothers and sisters, God uses the gospel and not miracles to save people. God has ordained a message, and that is Jesus Christ dying on the cross in our place for our sin. He has ordained a message, and in the same way that he has ordained a message, he has ordained the method. People who know Jesus, telling people who don't know Jesus how to know Jesus. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, when you invite people to church. I'm all for it. And every time you invite someone to Emory Baptist Church, I give you my word from this pulpit, they will hear the gospel. But you're going to have the opportunity to share that same gospel far more often than I will have with your friends on Sunday morning in this room. People who love Jesus, telling people who don't love Jesus how to love Jesus. People who know God, telling people who don't know God how to love God. That is the method. And so let's draw this to a close on page 8. Based on what we have seen in God's Word today, what should you do? Read with me aloud James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Number one, decide to obey the Lord in witnessing. Decide to obey the Lord in witnessing. Number two, ask God to give you a burden for people. Ask God to give you a burden for people. And here's what we need to remember as it relates to how we see other people, brothers and sisters. You cannot be neutral when it comes to witnessing. You cannot be. We cannot be neutral when it comes to witnessing. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Let me read it again. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And then let me give you a third point of action today. This week, would you join me in praying every day? Look at that prayer at the bottom of there, page 8. Lord, I want to obey you in witnessing. Help me care about my coworkers, classmates, friends, neighbors, and relatives the way you care about them. Lord, I want to obey you in witnessing. Help me care about my coworkers, classmates, friends, neighbors, and relatives the way you care about them. Every believer a witness. That's God's method. But it can't happen apart from our obedience. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, as our sermon this morning has been different, our invitation this morning will also be different. But I'm asking you at this time, with your ears open, but your head bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. For many of you here this morning, through God's Word, He has spoken to you. He has spoken to you about a particular person. And the fact that they are lost. And He has reminded you that He has put you in that person's life to share the gospel with him or her. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a best friend. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a teammate. And today, if you have already decided to obey the Lord in witnessing, and asked God to give you a burden for people, and committed already even to pray that prayer every day this week. Again, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around. In the quietness of where you are sitting, would you just simply lift up your hand? Would you just lift up your hand if you have agreed to these commitments this morning? Thank you. Thank you. All across the auditorium, thank you. You may put your hands down. Father in heaven, you have seen the commitments of these hearts. And Father, all week long, as the devil will certainly do his best to help us forget any commitments that we make here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you want us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us to be obedient. Help us to have a burden for people and to care for them the way you cared for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now look at me this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and sing. And if you raised your hand and you are making those commitments this week, I'm just going to ask you to be standing and singing with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as we sing unto the Lord together. If you have not made that commitment, I just want to ask you, why not? Why don't you care about people dying and going to hell? Brother Richard, that is harsh. There is no neutrality, brothers and sisters. There is no neutrality in witnessing. Again, it's not the Baptist preacher, it's the Lord Jesus. Either you are for me or you are against me. Why do you not care? Some of you this morning, you have been reminded from God's word that hell is real. And you have been convicted that Jesus is not your Savior. And this morning, when I ask you to stand and sing in just a moment, if you don't have a home in heaven right now, I'm going to invite you to make your way into one of these aisles and come here to the front. And speak with me or speak to Brother Ronnie and say, today, Brother Richard, I want to miss hell and make heaven through the blood of Christ. And we would love to welcome you today. We would love to welcome you into the kingdom of God and into Emory Baptist Church. And we'll talk to you about the next step of believer's baptism. But our invitation will be for you. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest and God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, who understands what it means to be witnesses for the gospel. We haven't come here just to sit and soak. We've come here to be inspired and to go out and share the good news with those that God puts in our path. If God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church today, we'd love to welcome you. Would you stand with me this morning as Brother Chris comes to lead us? And we're standing and singing together. Today, I would invite you to respond to God's word.